This morning, our message will be given by Pastor Bob. Let's pray for our pastor. Father, we thank you for this man, for all you've done in his life. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love and kindness and your grace that's so much better than words. Now, Father, I pray that you will continue your work in him, and that you will touch him this morning with your own hand. Touch us that we might hear and receive those truths that you placed inside him. Father, give him a special anointing right now to bring forth this message that you placed in his heart. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you remember a few years ago, a date, 9/11? Everybody remembers that. Everybody remembers where they were when they got the word that the Twin Towers had been knocked down. We remember things like that because it's traumatic in our life. I was out in my garden that morning, tending to my garden, doing some hoeing, and my wife came out on the back porch and called me, and she said a plane has just crashed into one of the Twin Towers in New York. Big tragedy. So I went in and looked at it for a few minutes, and I said, wow. So I went back out to my hoeing, and in a few minutes she came out and she said, well, the other one's down. They just knocked it down. But she said, it wasn't a plane accident. It was a terrorist act. So, I remember right where I was that morning. In New York that day, almost 4,000 people lost their lives. Because of an evil act and a terrorist act. It was a time of darkness for our country. And evil is always dark. God is light. This particular day, and of course, Renasia, you don't remember that day, but you've read about it and you know about it. Paris, you probably remember it as a little girl, maybe. But it was a dark day in the history of America. Evil is dark. God is light. So we went through a period of time there. On this particular day, 9/11, there was a group of people who had gathered in an elevator in the first tower to go to work. Several of them, some men and some women, different ages, different professions, strangers, and they were in that one elevator when the first plane hit the first tower. So as soon as the plane hit the first tower, the power went off throughout the building, so there they were, stuck. And they couldn't move, and they couldn't do anything. They were helpless. Total darkness set in, of course, immediately. Because they were inside of a giant building that had all of a sudden went dark. There was no way for sunlight to get in there. And here they are in a little capsule hung between floors in a giant building. And it was kind of like, it was just like blackness. They couldn't see anything. And, somewhat like it is in this room. We still have a little dark light coming in. But in this particular capsule they were in, it was total darkness, and they were doomed. They were marked for death that morning, helpless and lost. Somebody in the crowd, in the group, in the elevator, in the darkness, took out their cell phone and opened it up, and there was light. And the light reflected, and they could begin to see. And then another one took out their cell phone, and another. Pagers began to come on. And soon there was about 8 of these in that dark little capsule going on. And they came up with a plan. They found the door that was going up to the escape hatch through the roof of the capsule. They climbed up, helping each other up on top of the elevator, and they found the wall. And they took a metal envelope opener out of somebody's briefcase there, and they began to dig through the wall. They dug a hole through the wall, big enough for them to escape, found the stairwell, and they escaped, barely escaped with their life when the tower collapsed. But it was all because somebody had the forethought of opening up a little cell phone. And somebody had the forethought of putting just a little bit of light on the situation. Okay, gentlemen, if you'll turn our lights back on and open the windows. Thank you. So light can be life. It was life for them that morning. It can be life for all of us. John knew that. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. That's okay, John. Don't worry about that. If it won't come on, don't worry about it. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John was written by the disciple John. Not John the Baptist, but John the Baptist. Name is mentioned in this first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word with a capital W there is Jesus. Anytime you see a word that defines Jesus and it's capitalized, it's Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the guidance that you've given us in your word. And I pray, Father, that you will just richly bless it today and your reading thereof and the teaching thereof and the comprehension thereof. And I pray, Father, that you will just Use this scripture today to bless our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we read that first chapter of John, this first part of the first chapter of John is packed full of theology. The New Testament doctrine doesn't really get started until the book of Romans. But this chapter 1 is filled with biblical truth and Christian truth and the foundational principles of the Christian faith. What we learn here is that Jesus was God. He was a second part of the Trinity. We know that Jesus is light. And we know that light is the life of men. Those are several principles, theological principles that we've learned. We also have learned here in reading this passage of Scripture that John was a reflector of light. John placed his light on Jesus. That was why the reason that John was born. I'm going to turn this off. I used it as an illustration, but I don't want it ringing in the middle of the sermon. So, but John was a reflector of light. He reflected Jesus and shined the light upon Christ Jesus. John had Holy Ghost power. He had the power of Almighty God so that he could do the work that he does. God has placed in every Christian, every single born-again believer, he's placed the light of the Holy Spirit in them. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the power and you have the light. We live in a dark world. We live in an evil place, in an evil world. My wife and my daughter and Robbie and I went up to Columbus, Georgia this week and went to Callaway Gardens. And while we were there, we went to the U.S. Army Infantry Museum. It's a really a neat museum. And it shows the history of soldiers or the infantry. And of course, we comprehended and understood, what a soldier's, work is. And it is to, defend freedom of one of many things. Tanya was, we saw some things there. They had all kind of, stuff in that museum. It was a great museum. They had pictures of World War II, all the wars we've ever had. They had the items that come out of these things. They had one of Adolf Hitler's original uniforms that he wore, among other things. And Adolf Hitler was a very evil man. We're exposed to a lot of things. Tanya and I were sitting, there on a bench and of course she saw that the business of a soldier is killing, destroying. That's his job. But there's a latent function and that's keeping the peace. And she asked me about that, all of the war, having to be war. And why is there war? Why do people have to die in war? And I told her, I said, the best way I can tell you is there's evil in the world. There's people like Mussolini. There's people like Adolf Hitler. There's people like Attila the Hun. There's evil forces in the world. And sometimes those forces will try to destroy you. And so evil has to be overcome. And that's why we have armies, and that's why we have war. We have evil in the world. It's always been that way. It's darkness. Darkness and evil go hand in hand with one another. Light overcomes darkness. Goodness and righteousness overcomes evil. And that is the presentation of the concept of discipling in the Bible, that we find to overcome evil with good. That's what the Bible says in Romans. Jesus was given so that we could have life, and we could have life, we could have truth. He has programmed you now and made you a new person, a new individual that has the light of God in you. You're not darkness anymore, you're light. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Just as John the Baptist was a reflector of light who shone his light on Jesus, and Brother Leroy spoke about this in his sermon last week, John shone the light on Jesus. He ushered in Jesus. He ushered in the church age, the age of grace. He said, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God. He pointed to Jesus. If you wanted to equate John the Baptist with something, you could say at one of these big theaters that we have, there's people that hold the spotlight and shine the spotlight on the stage where the person who's the actor or the center of attention is on the stage. And so there's somebody holding the light on that individual. That was John's job. John's responsibility was to put the light on Jesus and focus the light on Jesus and say, here he is. He's here. The one that you've read about in the Old Testament, the one that God has promised us, the Messiah, here he is. There he is. That was John's work. That was his responsibility. Now, when God has placed in us the Holy Spirit, did you know what we become? We also become reflectors. Miss D put this up, and it is a reflection of Jesus. It's an icon. It's a picture. There's nothing holy about this and nothing to be worshipped here, but it reflects the image of Jesus. You and I are now reflectors, just like John the Baptist was. We reflect the light upon Jesus. We do that no matter who we are. We do it no matter how old we are or how young we are. I can do it. DJ can do it. George can do it. Venasia can do it. We do it as the way we walk through our lives and how we conduct ourselves out there in the world. Renasia and Paris and all the other young people in our church who are Christians, some of them aren't here today, usually got several of them, they are under a great deal of stress in the schools where they go to school. Other boys and girls laugh at them sometimes because of their Christian faithfulness. Some other boys and girls in the school make fun of them because they have decided to follow Jesus. Now, Renasia and Paris and the other children in our church are not the only Christians in that school. There's many Christians, boys and girls, in those schools. There's many school teachers that work there in those schools. There are janitors and school bus drivers and lawn maintenance people who work in that school and around that school. So the children are not by themselves. They're not alone. They are there with other brothers and sisters. The church is there because they are there. And the same thing with you and I. Wherever we are reflectors of light. You have the choice. You've been given the light. What you have a choice about is how bright you're going to let your little light shine. How bright am I going to reflect Jesus? Some people don't reflect a great deal of light. Some Christians don't reflect a lot of light. Some Christians reflect a great deal of light. And then there's all kind in between different modes of reflection or illumination of your Christian faith. We have a job to do. Our job is the same job that John the Baptist had, pointing to Jesus and saying, there's the light. There is the Lamb of God. Now, how do we do this? How do we do this? Some people say, well, I don't want to draw attention to myself, and I don't want to make waves, and I don't want to make anybody mad with me. I don't want to say anything that'll make people upset with me. I've heard it said like this. I don't want to approach my family members with the Christian faith because they will be angry with me. Well, I got to tell you something. I'd rather have them angry with me and have an opportunity to go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven than I had for them to love me and go to hell. I mean, what good is that excuse when the person's doomed for hell anyway? I mean, you have an opportunity to give him light and point the way and show the way. You have an opportunity to reflect Jesus, something that can change that person's life. Somebody at some place in time, in your lifetime, had the courage and the intestinal fortitude to show you the light and to reveal Jesus to you. You weren't looking for Jesus at the time, nor was I. But because the Holy Spirit gave someone the direction to show Jesus to you. As a consequence, you found the light of the Lord Jesus. Now, they were a reflector of light. I had many reflectors around me when I was a child, teaching me about Jesus. I had many reflectors. I was very fortunate. You may have just had one reflector. Could have been an uncle, an aunt, a friend, neighbor, teacher. Could have been a lot of people. Somebody reflected Christ Jesus to you. And now it's your job, because Jesus has commanded us in the Great Commission to continue this discipling mode. That's what discipling always is. Evangelism is. One beggar telling another beggar where he got his bread. Continuing on. So I work now to continue with the light. And continue to put the focus of Christ Jesus so that people can see it. You know what it's been? It's a system that's working. It's been working for 2,000 years. It worked the way Jesus intended it to work when he called 12 people out of the tax collector's office, off of the roadway, out of the boats and the fishing villages. He chose 12. One was the devil, the Bible reflects in that. But that was all still part of God's plan. And another one was elected to take his place. Jesus started off with 12. And they began to teach and point the light to Jesus. And they began to preach Jesus. These were after Jesus had gone. And then others came in. And they began to teach. It's a system that works. It's worked because it was implemented by God. It was designed by God. It's called discipleship. It's pointing the light to the folks. You may not be a great bright light reflector, but I can tell you this. Your light is visible in the world. You may not think it is. As soon as people out there see you get in your car every Sunday morning at 10:45 and drive away, they know exactly where you're going. They watch you. They know where you're going. He's going to church. They see you walking in here. They know you're going to church. You may not say, I'm going to church. You may not say, I am a Christian. I'm going to worship my God this morning. Would you really care to go with me? It may not work that way. But you are shedding light when you get in your car on Sunday morning and drive out of your driveway. People in your neighborhood are watching you. They know right where you're going. There's one of them. There's one of those Christians. There's one of those people that are going to church. You are reflecting light. Maybe just a little sliver of light in a dark world, but they can see it. You may be like that one. You know what they call him? Bible thumper. You know what they call me? Bible thumper. People already identified us as loud. I ask everybody, every time I meet somebody, one of the things I'm going to ask them is, do you know the Lord Jesus? Or are you a Christian? That's just what I do. I ask people. I talk to people. So, from the spectrum of light that you manifest and illuminate just by getting on in your car on Sunday morning and driving out of the neighborhood, headed to church, you're reflecting light all the way to a preacher on TV that has millions of followers or millions of listeners on the radio or TV. Both are illuminating light. Both are pointing the lights to Jesus. And both are manifesting Christ the same way John the Baptist did. When Paris walked out of her front door this morning, people saw her with her Bible in her hand. As she walked down Mission Road on the sidewalk, dozens of cars passed her, and they looked at her. And they determined immediately she's not going to the dollar store. She's not going to Walmart. She's not going to a friend's house. She's going to God's house to worship her God. How did they know that? She's got her Bible in her hand. She's got her Bible in her hand. Now, you don't take a Bible to go to the dollar store. And you don't need your Bible to go to the dollar store, to the Walmart store. Or to a football game. Probably ought to take one. But you take a Bible to go to church. So as soon as they saw Paris this morning, they identified her as a reflector of Christ Jesus. Just walking down the street, going to church. She's a reflector of Christ Jesus. God can use her. He's using her. Every time you are in a neighborhood, in a workplace, in a school, in a classroom, your behavior, your attitude, your manner of speech, your humility, your communication skills with your mouth reflect Jesus. If you're sitting in a restaurant, and you get your stuff from the counter at McDonald's and go sit down and open it up and start eating it, nobody, you look like the world. You're not of the world, but you look like the world because people didn't see anything that it would indicate any light there. But if you take your food from the counter and walk back to the table and you sit down, and you quietly just bow your heads and say a little prayer. Thank the Lord Jesus for this food. Or with, if you're with somebody, maybe take hands like Brother Leroy and I do and pray over your food. Or my family and I, we went out to dinner with some strangers last Friday night. They were strangers. We had met them. We had prior connections. They had identified themselves as Christians. So when we were in the restaurant that night, we held hands and we prayed. Don't see that very often. You do sometimes. You know what? When you do those kind of things, you're a reflector of Christ Jesus. Anything that you do, the way you talk, now, if I go into the workplace and somebody has upset me or something has happened and I spit out some words, bitterness or anger, or show them those kind of things, what am I reflecting? Am I reflecting Christ Jesus? No, you're reflecting darkness. If you snap at somebody, you're reflecting darkness. If you tell a dirty joke or something that's off color in a crowd of people, you're reflecting darkness. Because they've already seen you, they know that you claim to be a Christian. So now, they're looking at you and they say, I thought he was a Christian. You still are a Christian. But when you reflect darkness, you're reflecting darkness. Reflect light wherever you go. That's our work. That's our job. If you're at work, humbly reflect light. Reflect Jesus. Now what I'm not propagating to you is don't walk into your office tomorrow morning with your Bible and start talking to your You need this, you need that, you ought to, you better, you should, you shouldn't, and start giving directions. You need to be in church. You need to know the Lord Jesus. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. Is that a good reflector of Christian faith? No. Humbly, quietly, sweetly reflect Jesus. That don't mean beating people over the head with the Bible. Or telling them what their problems are, what's wrong with them, or you better do this. Or, how many of you ever said that to people? You need to do this. Anybody ever done that? Let me tell you something. Reflect Christ Jesus humbly. Reflect Him and reflect the light sweetly. People will listen to you. You'll get people's attention. They'll see the light. And it's a world out there. That's the work we do. If Paris goes to school in the morning and gets her Bible and stands up and starts preaching and telling people about Jesus and this and that and telling, you know what's going to happen to her? She's going to get thrown out of school. Is that the right way for a Christian to conduct themselves? No, ma'am. Quietly go about your life. And if you meet a friend and you're having lunch with a friend, find a way to mention the church or Jesus. And then gauge what that person's reaction is. That's the way I've always done it. Gauge what that person's reaction is. If they throw up the wall, or if they turn the conversation quickly away from what you've said, I stop right there. I am not going to fuss and fight with anybody to tell them about Jesus. I ain't going to do that. But if they ask me a question, or I see a little glimmer in their eye, or they ask me a question, or make a comment positively, I'll go right on. And that's the way to do it. You can't cram Jesus around nobody's throat. But you can point the light on Jesus, on Christ Jesus. That's my sermon today. Is to show light and to point to Jesus. We've been here almost 8 years. And we're still pointing to Jesus. We got a tattered flag out there on the pole. Got a cross on it. Thousands of people every week ride by and see that flag. They see the marquee. Over the years we've been here, we've had all kind of messages on that. Pointing to Jesus. We've passed out flyers. Passed out Bibles. Had vacation Bible school. Had all kind of events. Walked the streets. Knocked on doors. Done all things we can do to point the light toward Jesus. I'm going to urge you to continue to do so. Keep the work going. Be strong. Don't give up, but continue to go. It's been my pleasure, my privilege, over the past 7.5 years, to be your pastor, to lead this church, of founding this church with some of you. Bill. Old Bill's been here since day one. Some of the rest of you have. I've been here about 7.5 years, me and my wife and Robbie. And we have reflected Christ Jesus and shown the light as best we could. And we've had great many results. You are part of the results. A lot of baptisms. A lot of people turned to Christ Jesus. A lot of lives changed. I've gotten numerous letters and phone calls from people who left this church over those years, who left here addicted to drugs or alcohol, family trauma, all kind of things. Coming back, let me know, preacher, I'm on solid foundation now. Some of them in Milwaukee and Jacksonville, different places. So we've been shining the light. So today, it's time to continue on. I haven't told you this, but you've seen it. My health and my energy level has been going down. And you've seen our pastor, Brother Leroy, has been leading the church for the last couple of months. That was because I asked him to. Because I just don't have the energy that I need to efficiently lead this church anymore. And I knew that a few months ago. God bless me the day that he sent Leroy Raspberry into my life and into this church. He blessed you. And he has helped me and assisted me. He's my brother and my fellow worker. You have accepted him as your pastor, as you have me. And I appreciate that so much. I love you all so much. This has been the most wonderful experience of my entire life. I don't think it's outside of my walk with Christ Jesus and my wife and my children. I can't think of anything that I've ever enjoyed more than being the pastor of this church and being your brother and serving you, watching you grow. that's been a great thing for me to see how you have grown and changed and matured. And so it's time today for me to step down because I'm just not healthy enough and strong enough anymore to lead this church the way it needs to be led. Brother Leroy and I have been planning this day for about 3 months, 2 or 3 months. And I asked him a couple of months ago if he would be willing to take the church, and he said he would. He prayed about it before he gave me an answer, of course, and he thought about it. And I could not be more pleased with him. He is God's man here at New Life Ministries now. And BJ and I are going to be around, and Robbie, we're going to be around. We're going to come to church here a lot. We'll be at other places. We're going to tithe here. I want to urge you to continue to tithe here. We're going to tithe here. We are your family, your brothers and sisters. And, but it's just time for me to step down. I know you know that. You've been looking for it. You've been seeing it. And so today, with that said, I want to let you know I love you. And I care a great deal about you. And I want the church to come up here and rally around our new pastor and his wife. Sister Joyce, come up, please. And if y'all would just come with me, we're going to lay hands on them. And we're going to pray for them right now. Baby, come on. Let's just gather around and hold hands. Amen. And Lyndall, you can sit in one of those chairs right up front. And we'll give you a minute. We're not in no hurry. Bobby, would you help Lyndall there? Okay. All right, let's just pray in the name of Jesus now. Father, here we are today. And we know that everything that you end, you always have a new beginning. And we know, Father, that every time that you close one door, you open up another door. And because that's your will, and that's your sovereign will, and you're right, because this is your church. I want to thank you, Father, for allowing me to pastor this church for the last few years. I want to thank you for the things that you've shown me and the things that you've taught me. Thank you for my wife who stood by my side. And she's taught children's church. My son, Robbie, and Tanya, that stood by my side. And Father, I just thank you for all those things. And this church and these people that I know and have met and who have become my family, I thank you for them. And I pray that you'll continue to bless them and strengthen them. Bless this church. Move it forward and have your will in it, Father. I thank you for this man standing to my left, Brother Leroy. God, you've sent a good, godly man here. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll just bless him. I pray, Father, that you'll anoint him today as the pastor of this church. And Lord, help him to just continue the work that you've given him to do. And we know, Lord, that it won't be too long that somebody, it'll be his turn to stand where I'm standing today and pass the torch on to another man. And I pray, Father, that while he's your man here in New Life Ministries, that you'll bless him, touch him, strengthen him, bless his dear sweet wife, Sister Joyce and their family. I pray that you will just help us all to just stand behind Leroy today, as he's your man. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. I love you. You got anything you want to say, or you just let go with amen?
No, I'm talking up on
you. Okay. All right. God bless y'all. I love you. Huh? Love you, Joy. Been a pleasure getting to know you. And old Johnny boy. I love you, John. You're my buddy. And you just keep on walking with Jesus. Amen. Stay close to him.